Before we read our text for this morning's meditation, we need to do a brief review of our past four chapel addresses. In those four addresses, we learned about four people: Jacob, Esau, Isaac, and Rebekah. This morning's text finds Jacob fulfilling his mother's desire to deceive his aged and almost blind father. Jacob is standing before his father, pretending to be Esau. We read in Genesis 27, verse 24, "Then Isaac said, 'Are you really my son, Esau?' Jacob said, 'I am.'" In Christ Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, fellow students of the Word, our one-line text this morning is really a summary of Jacob's deception. "I am Esau." One commentator wrote that this is the first recorded instance of identity theft. What was Jacob thinking? Why would he do that? Well, we don't know what was in his heart, but we can surmise. He probably was not thinking, "I know this is wrong, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care." He might have been thinking, "Well, it's really Dad's fault for doing this. I should get the blessing." Maybe he thought, "Mom said, told me that God said that Esau would serve me, and he sold me his birthright. It's really mine." Or he might have thought, "I'm just making sure that what God wills is being done." Martin Luther wrote that sin does not want to be sin, it wants to be righteousness. And so often we too play the game of not wanting to treat our sins like sins, but like something else. Let's see how many times Jacob lied in order to accomplish his deception of his father. I find five lies. The first one is in verse 19. When he first comes before Isaac, Isaac asks him, "Who are you, my son?" Jacob replies, "I am Esau, your firstborn." Lie number one. Then Esau continues, "I have done what you asked me to do." Isaac didn't ask Jacob to do anything, he asked Esau. Line number three, Jacob said to his father, "Sit here and eat some of my wild game so that you may bless me." It wasn't his wild game, nor was it wild game, it was goat meat that was tasting like venison. Line number four, when Isaac was shocked that he had killed and prepared the venison so quickly, Jacob said, "The Lord, your God, gave me success." Interesting, it doesn't say "Lord, my God" or "our God." "The Lord, your God." And in line number five, in our text, Isaac heard the voice of Jacob and not Esau. And so he reaches out and he touches Jacob and he feels his hairy arms and hand. And of course, that's the goat skin. And he asks him, "Are you really my son, Esau?" And Jacob stands there and says, "I am." Before Jacob would follow through on this deception of his father, the only concern he had was being caught. In verse 12, we read, "What if my father touches me? I'll be exposed to him as a deceiver, and I'll bring a curse on myself and not a blessing." He wasn't concerned that it was a sin. He was concerned of being caught in this sin. Remember, Jacob was wearing Esau's clothing, his hunting gear, before he brought the meal to Isaac. And when he did, he leaned forward to kiss his father, Isaac, and Isaac then smelled him, and he said, "Surely the smell of my son, it's like the smell of the field." And so he blessed him. The deception was complete. The blessing was given. It was a blessing of bountiful crops, of being a master over nations who would serve him, of being lord over his brother, and also a blessing upon those who blessed him and a curse upon those who cursed him. And that same blessing was given to his grandfather, Abraham. And so we see the baby who tried to pull his older brother back into the womb so he'd be first now has finally pulled ahead of his brother. I'm not a purveyor of modern cultural or societal norms, but I've heard people say, just be real. Be who you are. And you need to be vulnerable. Well, if we really want to be really real and who we are and vulnerable, then we need God to lead us there. You like to wear masks. Every one of you do. I do too. We like to show the best part of ourselves. Wear masks to hide what we really like. So that's why acknowledging and confessing our sins is so hard, because we're being unmasked. Confession of our sins reveals truths about ourselves that we would like to be keep hidden away forever, never to be revealed or see the light of day. We like to substitute one self-created mask for another self-created mask so no one really gets to see the real sinful me. And that's why the Lord needs to lead us to see the real truth about ourselves. The cold, hard, naked truth that we all are condemned and lost sinners by nature, and left to ourselves without Jesus, we get no hope, no salvation, no blessed future. We need to be really real and see ourselves as God sees us. One person wrote, "The only time a liar tells the truth is when he says, 'I'm a liar.'" And so, as repentant sinners, we need to confess the truth too. I'm a liar. I'm a cheat. I'm a gossiper. I'm a hater. I'm a bully. I'm an ingrate. I'm an immoral person in my thoughts. I have a foul mouth. I'm self-centered and selfish. I'm good at making excuses. And that's the only beginning of a long list of admissions. That's also only the beginning of the way forward. For now we turn away from looking at ourselves and we look at our Savior, who responds to our confession not by an angry look or by shaking his finger at us in anger or by giving us a long list of things to do to regain his love. We see a Savior who responds to us in our confession like the father of the prodigal son, who throws his arms around him, rejoices that his son who was lost is found, his son who was dead is now risen again spiritually, throws a party for forgiveness, and celebrates his return. Every day, we're like lying and deceiving Jacob. Every day, we're like the prodigal son. And yet, thankfully, every day, our Father is like that father, watching for, looking for, waiting for us to turn and to return to him through Jesus. You see, to walk in discipleship is to see and to confess the worst about ourselves over and over and over again, and then to see and to hear Jesus say over and over again to each of us, "I still love you. I died for you. I've washed you clean of every one of your sins. Now follow me." One last point. We're also like Jacob, who was wearing his elder brother's clothes so he'd smell like him. We too are dressed in our elder brother's clothes, Jesus, clothed in his white robes of righteousness, so that our Father blesses us with the blessing of the firstborn. And that, being dressed in Jesus' white robe of righteousness, is a sweet smell, aroma to God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. We'll continue with singing hymn 318.